We're excited about what God's doing in all of our lives, and I continue to hear tremendous testimonies of salvation, renewal, just recommitments, breakthroughs. It's just amazing what God has done. And we've seen so many people recently, unsuspectingly, give their life to Christ. I mean, who would have ever thought a fire marshal coming in to inspect your building to see whether or not you can be a public access facility? You end up spending 20 minutes with him praying, and he praying with you and saying, I think I'm going to come to your church. I mean, how many know that that's Jesus, right? I mean, that just doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. And God's been doing those things. But turn with me in the Bible, would you? Psalm 50, verse 1. I'm delighted to be with you this morning, and T and I are excited about our futures together. Psalm 50 and verse 1, here's what it reads. The mighty God, the eternal, the God of the past, present, and future. Aren't you glad he's a God of the past, present, and future? That's right, man. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He has spoken over the world, calling together all things from sunrise to sunset. You know, God's called together all things. Understand something about Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It says he upholds all things by the word of his power. God spoke and he created, and he's continuing to speak. And he's speaking over you, and he's speaking over me, and he's speaking over this nation. And I believe God is creating in the heavenlies a supernatural relationship of revival in unsuspecting places. Fire marshals and police chiefs and, you know, business people that you might come in contact with and others you may shop with. All of a sudden, bam, God's opening up doors. You know why? Because you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is the voice of God that creates. Is that right? Is that what we just read? It's the voice of God that creates. It's the voice of God that thunders like mighty rivers, mighty waterfalls on the earth. And when God's voice speaks, he creates. So did you know that God speaks to you and me? How many know that God can speak to us, right? Through the Holy Spirit, right? So it is vital that we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, because we can't create anything. Oh, you can try. You can put it together and all your efforts try to make things happen. But guess what? You're going to wear yourself out. But if you hear what God's saying and follow what he said to do, you are going to see God create what he desires for your life, my life, this region. So we have to have a revival of hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And many times God will say that. He'll say, you see that couple over there? I mean, this happened to me not long ago, and I didn't want to pay for their dinner, but the Holy Spirit kept saying, pay for their dinner. And I'm like, I don't want to pay for their dinner. And he said, well, let's just pay for their dinner. And I said, what do you mean, let's? It's my checking account. Well, here's the thing. You know, my waitress came over, and I said, God just told me that we're to pay for this couple's dinner, but I don't want you to tell them that it was us. You can say something after we leave, but we just want you to know that. She goes, no way, you're going to do that? Why would you do that? Well, let me tell you why. It was an incredible experience. Now, I never saw that couple again. They don't know me. All they knew is we were that old couple sitting on the side that decided to pay for their dinner. And when I got their bill, I was like having second thoughts. Man, they were ordering some food, man. But in our multitasking, social media overloaded world, we find ourselves caught up with many voices vying for our attention. Did you know there's many voices vying for our attention? And we lose connection with the voice that matters the most. And so I want to challenge you and ask yourself this question. When's the last time you heard the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life? Can you mark down the moment, the date, the time? What did God say? Were you obedient to what he spoke? And what were the results? If you begin to log those times, you're going to find your life becoming more adventurous. You're going to begin seeing God use you in a greater way. It's still the still small voice of God that makes the difference in a person's life. Alfred Brendel said this, the word listen contains the same letters as silent. Sometimes we just have to quiet ourselves, listen, and let God speak. Here's four things that you might want to remember, write down if you're taking notes. Four things that I believe will help you to hear the voice of God. Number one, cultivate an open mind. Don't get up in the morning and just regulate your day based on routine. In other words, when you go to the gas station, say, Holy Spirit, I'm pulling up to get gas. Do you have something here that you need me to say? Cultivate an atmosphere with an open mind. Number two, allocate time. In that cultivation of your open mind, you have to set apart time to say, you know what, before I go in there today in this business meeting, I'm going to allocate time to say, Holy Spirit, you speak to me. If there's a word of knowledge, if there's an insight, if there's a prayer burden, God, I want to allocate time right now. Number three, we should eliminate distractions. I remember when I was just starting here at the church back in 19, a long time ago, that the pastor said, I want you to go do home visitation. I said, okay, what is that? He said, well, people that visit the church, you need to go to their home, knock on their door, and visit with them. I said, okay, no problem. So I remember knocking on the doors, and I could see the drapes moving in the living room, but when they saw it was me, they didn't answer. I'm like, this isn't working well. It started to give me a complex, but really, that was the way it was. Or if someone did let me in, I'd walk in the door, and I'd had to contend with a lot of distractions. Dogs are barking. You know, like this little watchdog wanting to take my ankle off, right? And then the TV's blaring. I mean, it's the 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. What do you call that with Vanna White show? What is that? That Wheel of Fortune! It was on really loud, you know. So I'm trying to sit down. Here, have a seat. And then Wheel of Fortune's on, and the dog's still barking. I'm like, this is not working. I need to eliminate some distractions here. So at first, when I was a rookie, I would ask kindly if they could turn the TV down. But after a few visits, I got up and turned it off myself. And I would say, you don't mind, do you? Click. And then I would take the dog and kindly put it out on the back porch. Say, nice doggy. Sometimes you have to eliminate distractions from hearing the voice of God. Number four, cooperate with what is spoken. That's a risk. And sometimes it's uncomfortable to go to somebody and say, look, I don't know if this is accurate or not. That's how I usually do it. Don't come across like some major prophet of the Old Testament, because you're not. You're not even a minor prophet of the Old Testament. But I usually go to people and say, look, I may not have this right, but I sense something in my heart about you. And is there something going on that I could pray about? You know, often when I pray, God answers our prayers. Matter of fact, let me tell you about a little boy. His name's Cameron. He had stage 4 leukemia, and our church prayed, and we got the report back, 100% cancer-free. So that's an incredible testimony. So do you think I could pray for you? Well, who's going to say no? You know, so you come across that way. In other words, you cooperate. You're going to have to take a risk. But we have to get back to the concept of what Eli taught Samuel. 1 Samuel 3:10, you know what he said to him? He was hearing this voice in the middle of the night going, Samuel. And he'd wake up and he'd go into Eli and he said, yes, Eli, what do you want? He goes, I didn't call you. So he'd go back to sleep and then he'd hear it again, Samuel. He wasn't trained to hear the voice of God. Eli said, look, I didn't call you, but if it calls you again, say, yes, Lord, for your servants speak, because your servant's listening. Sure enough, Samuel. And Samuel said, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And God spoke to him a prophetic word. You know what I really believe about a lot of the church? Is we're sleeping. We're sleeping. And God has woken us up a few times. You know, some of us have been awakened to revival a number of times. I mean, like we come to church every week. We pray every day. We're reading our Bible. And then slowly we kind of go back to sleep. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever seen that in your life, a cycle? I think we've all had those spiritual ebb and tides, right? Up highs and lows. But don't go back to sleep. Stay awake. Why? Because Samuel was a prophetic voice to a nation. And he couldn't speak what God was saying if he was asleep. You and I need to be awakened in our spirit in this hour, in this generation. That's why I believe like church is so important. I love standing at the front door and greeting families, especially those that I've seen year after year after year, but I'm learning now I'm going to have to switch doors, right, Sharon? Some of you sneak in on that south door because you don't want to see me. And I'm getting a complex. So if I'm not there next time at that door, I'm on the south end catching those guys trying to sneak in. But we have to hear what God's saying when you see someone. What is God saying when you see someone? I saw Jeff today, Lynn coming in. He's been through back surgery, horrible experience over the last 4 months, walking kind of gingerly. I asked him how he was doing, and while I was asking him how he was doing and he was answering, I said, Holy Spirit, what am I to say? What should I do? Is there anything you want me to do? I didn't hear anything. But you know, this is a corporate gathering of where we can work the voice of God. But you can't do that when you're at home or walking your dog. God doesn't really want to speak to your dog. God wants to speak to people. And that's why the corporate gathering is so important. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and down through verse 20. Do you have it there on the screens? No? Yeah, we do. All right, good. Jesus was walking by the Sea of the Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. Now get the picture here. These guys were just hanging out doing what they do. They were casting their nets. And Jesus walked up and said, follow me. If you read the text down a little further, which I'm not going to take time, he also saw James and John, and he said, follow me. But unlike Andrew and Peter, they weren't casting nets when Jesus called them. They were mending nets. You say, well, why is that important? It's vitally important to understand that some of us are going to hear the voice of God differently than other people. Some of us are going to have an assignment that's different from other people. One of the things we've got to guard against in the kingdom of God, especially in charismatic circles, is that we all manifest, if you will, the anointing of God the same way. There's no pattern. So don't start looking at Benny Hinn and start blowing on people. Okay? That's not necessarily what God's saying for you to do. You don't have to be a Rod Parsley, or you don't have to be a T.D. Jakes and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. You know, God may use you differently. So if you notice that Andrew and Peter were casting nets, and what was James and John doing? Mending nets. If you look at the ministry of Andrew and Peter, their sermons and speaking what God was saying was a very direct, fiery message. However, if you look at James and John, their message was much different. It was slow, methodic, progressive, and little by little. They understood that sometimes you can't push people who are broken. You have to fix them first before they can find the truth. See, everybody has a different call, but you've got to find yours. But the bottom line is you've got to hear what the voice of the Lord is saying, because the Lord designs and gifts each of us personally. And every life is important in the kingdom of God to be manifest. That's my grandson. It's no problem. He loves my preaching, and so he preaches when I preach. Isn't that awesome? He loves it. Every time I start preaching, he's like, ah! See, some of you have interpreted that as he doesn't like it because he's screaming. Well, that's not true. I interpret it differently. I choose to interpret it differently. I guess my question is Jesus calling you this morning? Maybe you're an Andrew or Peter or James or John, but is Jesus calling you? Well, you better understand something. He is. Jesus is calling you and me every day every moment with the desire to use us in this hour. Now, something that they did that I think is very important, and we're not doing a text, you know, synopsis of Mark 1, but they left their nets and followed him. Sometime when you hear the voice of God, you've got to leave what you've been doing and knowing and walk without what you've done and look for something you've never done. They didn't carry their nets with them because they were fishermen by trade. That's all they'd ever done. But when Jesus called them, they dropped their nets. You know, the calling of God also pertains to some of our past, because the nets represented their past life. Some of us have had abuse in our past. But when Jesus calls us, you need to drop the abuse right where he called you. Drop the failure right where he called you. Drop the big mistakes right where he called you. Drop those things that you're not very proud of right where he called you. Because if you try to drag them along with the calling of God, you'll end up repeating what you've always done and be frustrated with your relationship with God. He's calling you this morning. Now, be nice, but look at somebody and say, I think Jesus is calling you. I like the scripture in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. It was a voice that came from Macedonia to Paul. And basically what he said was, come on over here and help us. See that in verse 9? The voice of God was calling Paul to come over to Macedonia and help those that were in that region. That's the only reason why Paul went, is because he heard the voice. Let me ask a question. What happened if Paul didn't hear the voice? He wouldn't have gone to Macedonia. Was it God's will that Macedonia would have an apostolic visitation from Paul? Yes. Was it Paul that was chosen to provide this apostolic visitation? Yes. God spoke. Paul, what if he didn't listen? What if he didn't hear the voice of God? It would stymie the will of God right in its tracks. I'm telling you, church, we've not valued hearing the voice of God enough in this hour. We are overloaded with too many voices from other people, social media, television, whatever else that has our attention, and it's time for us to allocate more time with God. Hear Him and follow through. People all around us need help with their souls. Everybody does. I don't care if they come in a fire chief's uniform to inspect your building, and they have all of the regalia on them, and they look like they got it together, and they have the authority of the city to shut you down. How many know? He has a soul, and that soul needs ministry. Don't be intimidated by the outward appearance. Sometimes we think the only people that need help are the ones that are broken, down, out, without food. People that are in shoddy clothing. People that are living in poor housing areas. No, wait a minute. Every soul on this planet needs redeemed. And the only way they're going to be redeemed is for you and I to hear the voice of God. There was a woman that heard it. Verse 14 of the same chapter, her name was Lydia. Do you know about Lydia? She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. And she worshiped God. But while Paul was preaching, the Bible said the Lord opened her heart. Look at that. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. God was speaking to Paul. Paul, was speaking to Lydia, right? So what God was speaking to Paul, Paul was speaking to Lydia. Lydia was obeying as if it was coming from God. That's incredible. Now Lydia was in position to be used by God. You know, when she's a seller of purple, that represents wealth and influence. Some people are here this morning with wealth and influence, And some of you may be thinking, where are they sitting? I'd like to know them. But like her, you came here today with a void in your heart. You came in here with a damaged soul. You could have all the wealth, you could have all the influence, you could have all the notoriety that you want, but you came in with a damaged soul. And God has called us to be soul doctors. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a person you won't meet this week who does not need a tune-up in their soul. You know, the Bible says that we are spirits. We live in bodies and we possess a soul. Our soul should never possess us. There are some people that aren't possessed by devils. They act like it. But in reality, they're possessed by their soul. Their mind, their will, and emotions conduct their life schedule daily. They respond and react to situations and other people. Why? Because their soul possesses them. Their soul needs to be saved, rescued. To be rescued means to be in submission to your spirit as your spirit is in submission to God. Do you understand the power and the message that we have in this generation to evangelize a world? Right what's wrong. Turn upside right side what's been upside down. You and I have got the message, but we got to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit to be able to go into Macedonia, into Lydia's heart. But God's calling us. You know, Saul, before he was Paul, was called by God. Some of us need a Damascus Road experience. I wish I could recreate that for some people. You know, some people that have hardened hearts about Jesus, you know, I like to put them on the back of a horse and draw them down the aisle and let lightning flash from the ceiling, hit them right square in the head. Don't hurt them, just burn them a little bit, you know. Reenact the heavens opening up and God speaking their voice. And then blind them for 3 days. What an incredible illustrated sermon, Pastor. Wow. Man, I went to church yesterday. It was awesome. Pastor brought this guy in on a horse. Lightning came down from the ceiling. His hair caught on fire. He got blinded. It was cool. What church do you go to? Buddy, I had someone ask me the other day, let me ask a question. I don't really know a lot about your church. You guys don't, like, play with snakes and stuff, do you? And I said, no, I don't like snakes. He goes, good. We are called to call down some fire once in a while, though. You know, Zacchaeus had a bad reputation among his peers, and he hid out in a tree. Some of us are hiding out in whatever camouflage we can find, whatever cover we can find. But you know what's interesting? The voice of God can pierce any covered, any camouflage. You can be hardened. You can be a criminal. You can be angry. You can be a person that is mad. But you know what? That's nothing but camouflage. The voice of the Lord can penetrate that and melt your heart. When you hear the voice of God and you begin to speak what God says, people will repent. People will find healing for their souls. Now, like Samuel, we become so unconscious of his presence, we've fallen asleep. And I just want to say this, what we have known as Christians isn't enough. Because if it was enough, we begin saying, thank you so much, I'll take that. Thanks for the prayers this week. I have been really struggling with my health. But I'm back up on my feet today. That's a good thing, right? Some people say, oh, that's purified water. Wow. That's the good stuff, man. Yeah. No chlorine in it or nothing, right? Is this okay? Is this good stuff? Yeah. You may have had a bad reputation. You may have some kind of camouflage. You may be covered over by something. A disguise that you wear. You ever see people with disguises? Some are more obvious than others. Some like to wear power ties and try to intimidate you. But you can see right through that. That's just a camouflage. Some try to pull their pants down low, wear gold chains and talk in your face and dis and dat. But that's just camouflage too. Because love penetrates every barrier. And people that, listen to me, people that love extravagantly can love anyone, anywhere, anytime. We really don't have an evangelism problem. We have a love problem. If we fall in love with Jesus, and I like that old song we used to sing, Ron Cordy, you'll remember this. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It's just a beautiful song, and it reminds me of the fact that my love has to remain fresh and current, and it has to drive me so that I love God with everything in my heart. Here's what God's calling us to. In the next 10 minutes, I'm going to share with you four things that I feel are so relevant to our future. Number one, God's calling you for healing and restoration. Some of us have been broken. Some of us have been angry. Some of us have been disappointed. Some of us have seen failure around us, and we're asking why. And God, how come you let this happen? Some of us need to be called for healing and restoration. In Mark 10:49, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus was passing by, and he was crying out, and Jesus said to his disciples, go tell him I want to see him. And the disciples went to Bartimaeus and they said, hey, he's calling you. Can I tell you this morning that God's calling you for healing and restoration? You might have come in today disappointed with family members, or maybe angry at a coworker, or maybe your spouse, or what coulda, shoulda, woulda happened in my life, only if this wouldn't have happened. And that just begins to mar us, and it's a weight that we carry around. But did you know that God is calling you right now? When Bartimaeus heard that God was calling him, he left his blind blanket, which identified him as a blind beggar, by the roadside and walked toward Jesus. You and I've got to leave what has identified us in our life and come to his calling. You say, well, what's identified me is woulda, shoulda, coulda. What has identified me is what they did to me, what they said to me, and what I should have made have done in my life. No, that's not your identity. I did a 50-year renewal vow ceremony last night. It was the Scarbelli and the Balzano family. How about that? Two Italians for you. But when Antoinette Balzano got married to Carmen Scarbelli, she gave up the Balzano name. Now, 50 years later, if you call her Antoinette Balzano, she wouldn't even turn around. When you came to Christ, you got a new identity. You got to keep the identity of Christ in your life current and quit going back and putting on your blind beggar identification. You got to let it go. God's calling you. God's calling you. And we have to cast aside the heavy garment of our past. Number two, God's calling you because he sees where your need is. He's calling you to help other people. This isn't a solo project. Ask yourself, who have you helped this week and how? We need to learn to help other people. You know, sometimes we think that they're inconvenience, they're a burden, or they don't deserve my help. I don't know about you, but I never deserved God's help. I was probably one of his biggest burdens. And there are times now when I think about how good God's been to me, I can begin to weep and say, Father, how can you forgive me like you've done? Helping other people is really the kingdom message on every level. Whether it's helping Grandma Jenny out of the car, or whether it's passing out food at the Love Center, or whether it's just going to your neighbor with an encouraging word because you know they had surgery. Or yesterday I was watching a girl trying to struggle put up a tent. And I looked at her and I thought, she's struggling. And God said, yeah, stupid, go over there and help her. He didn't call me stupid. I call myself stupid. So I walked over there. I said, you need some help? She goes, yeah, think. She didn't say anything. She said, sure. And then when I offered, and she said, just put it up for the until it clicks the first time. So I'm like, yeah, I can, you know. No! No wonder she was struggling. I finally got it to click. I'm like, yeah, macho man. Helping other people is what floats your boat. God's calling you to be restored and healed. God's calling you to help others. Number three, God's calling us to a higher place. God's calling you to a higher place. You know what? In Revelation 4 and verse 1, I love this verse. And after these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me saying, come up here, I'll show you things which must take place after this. Now, traditionally, if you're a dispensationalist, I don't even know what that is, but if you believe in the rapture, you use Revelation 4, verse 1 as the rapture. That's what I was taught in Bible college, but I'm going to change that. You say, well, you don't believe in the rapture anymore? Of course I believe in the rapture, but I also believe Revelation 4, 1 differently. John was on the Isle Patmos. Anybody know about John? He was boiled in oil twice. How would you like that kind of a skin foliation? He was blinded. He was alone. And God said, hey, John, come up here. Because I want to show you what's about to take place. Isn't that cool? And then he showed him all of the book of Revelation. And some say, well, yeah, theologians say God's going to bring the church, we're going to be in God's presence, and then we're going to be watching what's happening on the earth. Okay, I'll give you that license, but let me say this. Let's go back it up a little bit and ask the question, why did God ask John to go to a higher place than where he was? If you read Revelation 4, which I don't have time to do this morning, it's all about what John saw when he got there. What did John see when he got there to where God was calling him? Anybody know? All right, put Revelation 4 in verse. Do you have two? I just gave you one, but there you go. Immediately I was in a spirit, and behold, a throne. What did he see when he got there? Oh, a throne. Okay, check. And one sat on the throne. Okay, what did he see when he got there? A throne, and what else? Somebody sitting on it. Next verse. And he who sat there was like jasper and sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne. So we saw a throne, somebody sitting on it, a rainbow around the throne, and somebody who was sitting there had an appearance of like an emerald, sardis stone, and jasper. Number four. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Now we see 24 thrones around one throne. Somebody sitting on the throne. That must have been awesome. And then there's 24 people with smaller thrones with crowns on their head. And around the throne were 24 thrones. Verse 5, please. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. So John gets up there, he sees a throne, sees someone sitting on it, someone that was awesome, 24 smaller thrones, people have crowns on them, and then all of a sudden, out of the throne were lightnings, thunderings, and voices, and seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now John said, dude, I got a feeling that God is in this place. Now think about it, he just came from a horrible life experience. He just came from blindness, boiled twice, destitute, alone, on an island. God said, come up here. He finds himself what I just described. That's where he's at. Now there's burning lamps, the seven spirits of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is all over the room. Next verse. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in the front and the back. Oh, wow. Four living creatures? This is like the Sci-Fi Channel. This is amazing. Come on, keep going. Verse, whatever, next one. Watch. The first living creature was a lion. The second living was a calf. The third living creature was the face of a man. And the fourth creature was like a face of a flying eagle. I don't have time to teach you. But Matthew. What is Matthew? Matthew is written to the Jew. It showed Jesus as king. Mark, what is it? It is a Gentile book. It shows Jesus as servant, the ox. What is Luke? Luke was man. He was the great, he was a physician. He was the healer. And what about the book of John? It's about the divinity of God, the eagle, the one that represents the throne of God. All of a sudden, he's in this place that sees God like amazing, lightning everywhere, and 24 smaller thrones and crowns. And all of a sudden, now he's seeing all of this Spirit of God, fullness everywhere, Holy Ghost like oozing off the walls. And then the four living creatures, which is the fullness of God and the fullness of ministry of Jesus. And then what happens? It says they were flying around the throne, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the Lord, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Yes, now what's the next verse? There is none. It's chapter 5. Okay, God, back up. Why did You want John to see that? The reason why God wanted John to see that is the same reason why He wants you and me to see that. He's got to be bigger than your little church experience. If you don't see Him in chapter 4 in all of His glory, then whatever's going to come in your life is going to be bigger than the God that you serve. John, I'm going to show you what's about to take place, but before you can see that, you need to see Me as the one that's bigger than any problem, bigger than any devil, bigger than any challenge, more holy than any person, than anything that you'll ever face. I am that I am. And if you can see Me on that level, it doesn't matter what comes. Hell can break loose. The rivers can overflood. We can see fire fall from heaven. We can see a demon be released on the earth and an antichrist try to take over the world. But guess what? I've got My eyes on Jesus, who sits on the throne, who there is none equal to Him. God's calling you and me to that higher place. It's time we go. It's time we go. And in conclusion, God's calling you to join this movement. What's the movement? The movement is that God's designed and gifted each of us personally in every life has an anointing. I don't care if you're David and you're all alone in the hillside of Bethlehem watching your father's sheep and everybody else is down there with Samuel being checked out to be the king, and you're thinking, "God, why are You overlooking me? Why wasn't my father even calling me?" But David didn't have to be called to the meeting with Samuel to know that he had joined the movement. He joined the movement way before he was called by Samuel to say, "Do you have another son?" He was a worshiper. He penned the Psalms. He killed the lion. He killed the bear. In the name of God Almighty, he'll take down this Philistine. He joined the movement. You have to make a decision today. God's calling you to join this movement. It's not to grow together, and it's not make America great again. Those are about the two phoniest slogans I've ever heard in my life. It's join the movement of the kingdom of God on the earth. Say, Pastor, you shouldn't get political. I am political. It's called the kingdom of God. It's his government. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of his Christ and of our Lord. That's what the Bible says. But we need to join the movement. Moses joined the movement at 80. Look, folks, I'm getting aged too. But don't you pull the age card on me. Well, I'm getting older. It's not as easy as it used to be. Well, what can you do? Well, not a whole lot anymore, Pastor. No. What can you do? Join the movement. Moses was 80. People always say, I heard you're retiring. Well, what am I going to retire for? That doesn't pay very well. And plus, I don't like shuffleboard or bocce ball or badminton or bingo on Thursday nights. I'd rather be up here screaming Jesus is Lord. Amen? Got to join the movement. What about Abraham? He was a moon worshiper. God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans into the promised land. God calling you. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. God will call you. Join the movement. What about Paul? He hated the church. When he was on the Damascus Road, he was looking for Christians, people that were in the, quote, way, to kill them and arrest them. He stood by and watched Stephen be stoned to death, held the coats of those who were hurling the rocks. You don't know what I've done, Pastor. I've done some bad things. Oh, shut. Bad things. There's nothing you can't be forgiven of and restored from, because our God is a big God. And if you'll just get to a higher place and see him as he is, you will not hesitate anymore, because you know he is God all by himself. Amen. Say, well, all I have is just a two-piece fish dinner. I don't have much to give to Jesus. Just have 5 loaves and a couple pieces of fish. Oh, you know what? Why don't you just give it to him and see what happens? There was a little boy one day that showed up to a meeting. Jesus was preaching to 5,000. And suddenly that boy's lunch fed everybody with 12 basketfuls left. How about them apples, huh? What do you think? That God can use you? Absolutely. Will he? Absolutely. Jesus is calling you to join this movement. I want to see people excited, skipping across the parking lot when you come into the house of God. I want to see you bringing your family and your friends. I was telling people as they were walking in, I said, oh, happy Sunday. I was just teasing now. I was just being funny. I said, you missed breakfast this morning. We served free breakfast. You just missed it. It was at 7 a.m. this morning. Maybe next Sunday, come a little earlier. You could get breakfast. They looked at me like that, and I said, no, I'm just kidding. We got to do something to get our families here. Don't concede their souls to hell. You've given up. You haven't asked them for a year, 2 years, 4 years. You just let them flounder around, whatever they want to do. Get them into the house of God. Tell them, hey, we got this illustrated sermon on Sunday. Pastor's going to pick somebody out, put him on a horse, and lightning is going to come down and smoke their head. It could be you. It'd be fun, man. Come on, let's go. Jesus is calling you this morning to join this movement. I need people that will go out and hear the voice of God, win souls, bring them into the house of God. that his house might be full. It's not God's will that there be one empty seat in any church in the Lorain County. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should have everlasting life. Amen? Not one to perish. So let's hear the voice of God. What is he saying? Let's go get him. Let's bring him in. Let's see the house of God full and filled with excitement, joy, forgiveness, hope. Huh? That's what we want. That's what we want to do. He's calling us to help other people. What can you do to help others this week? A place of healing. Where do you need to be healed in your heart? And to a place, to a higher place with Him and see Jesus like you've never seen Him before. Church on the North Coast, I'm telling you, this is a great hour for you and me. We can't sit back on our laurels and allow this world just to do what it does. We've got to be aggressive. And how do we do that? Let God speak. When God speaks, things change. Men love to talk. Men love to talk, and boy, do they talk. Oh, da 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 da. I can't hardly stand the news anymore. I'm like, who cares what you think about what they said? Who cares? What do you think about what he said? I don't know. What did he say? Ah, see, that's the problem. You're not hearing what he said. But God's going to raise up an army, right? I want to be part of that army. And I hope that you'll be a part of that army as well. I got to go to the next service this morning. We do 2 every Sunday morning, and I just want you to know that I love you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. And I mean that. I love you regardless. And I know that God has a great plan for your life. And Pastor Jim's going to come and close the service. And T and I are going to head on out. But you pray this week, Father, I want to hear your voice. How many will at least pray that prayer? Let me see your hand. All right. All right. Awesome. Awesome. Pastor Jim, can you close this service? Thank you, sir. All right.
He's calling every single one of us. Maybe you didn't think that when you walked in the door this morning. Maybe when you got up this morning, you thought, I haven't heard his voice in so long. But he's calling you. And a lot of times, it's not necessarily that he's not calling us, that we're not put ourselves in that place where we're listening, where we're hearing. So in closing today, I would like each and every one of us. You know, I read something, I posted on Facebook this week. It says, if you think you've blown God's plan for your life, rest in this, you my beautiful friend. You are not that powerful. You are not that powerful. In light of what we read in Revelation chapter 4, and I'm sure as pastors stepped through those verses, each one of us caught an image. When he called him up there to a higher place, when you read that Revelation chapter 4, you went there with him for a moment, and it was like, yeah, that's my God. Wow, that's his power. That's his voice. That's who he is. And when you take yourself out of, and we all live in it, we live in this world, we walk around these streets, and we see this stuff, and we're down here, and we don't put ourselves up there in that place. What we have to do is what Pastor called us to do in those 4 things. Number 1, and I want to close with this, cultivate an open mind. You know, we need to put on the mind of Christ. And if you're not saved, if you're not born again this morning, if you don't have a renewed mind, we need to put ourselves in salvation with Christ. So it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And my thoughts are no longer my thoughts. They're no longer what Jim is going through, but it's the mind of Christ when I see this situation, when I speak to a family member, when I speak to someone who's hurting, when I go to a friend. It's the mind of Christ. We need to cultivate that open mind. We need to allocate time. How much time have you spent in this last week listening? Remember, listen, hearing. He is talking, I can guarantee you that. His word is going forth into every one of our lives, and we need to allocate that time. So maybe that's you today. Maybe you don't need salvation, but you need to just allocate more time. Eliminate distractions. They are all over. Distractions, you will not walk out those doors before what God has put in your heart. There'll be some distraction. There'll be someone say something. There'll be some instance. There'll be some circumstance that someone will put in front of you, and it'll distract you from what God spoke even when you're sitting here right now. So we need to eliminate those distractions. Maybe there's a distraction in your life that you've held on to. You need to lay it down before God before we leave today. And then last but not least, we have to cooperate with what he says. If the person that we have the vision of in Revelation chapter 4 is speaking, trust me, if that person's speaking to my life, if he who sits on the throne, who the 24 elders cast their crowns before, if he's got something to say, we need to cooperate with it and act on what he said. So maybe he spoke something to you. So there's four areas of prayer that I'd like to close in prayer with. And I'd like the altar ministers to come up as we close. If you would like to, number one, accept Christ as your personal Savior, we'd like to speak with you about that. We'd like to introduce you to salvation, introduce you to Jesus. If you don't even know how the mind of Christ can be in you, if that's strange and foreign to you when I say it, we'd like to speak with you and pray with you about that. If there's something you need to lay down to eliminate from your life, this is the place and time to do it. The Word of God is fresh on your heart and in your spirit, and there's not a better time where you can take in this week to just lay that down before Him and let Him have it. Amen? Amen. So let's all stand. We're going to pray. I want to thank you all for coming today. You know, just the fact that you are here says to the Lord, it's an honor before God that you took the time, that you took the time to meet in His presence. So let's close in prayer right now. Father God, I thank you for those who are here today, Lord. We just ask, God, if there be any who need salvation, Father God, speak, Holy Spirit, into their life. Draw them. If you're in that place right now where you need salvation, where you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when it's foreign, when I said you have the mind of Christ in you and it's no longer you that lives, then I'm going to ask you to please come forward right now. Pray with one of these. Ask Christ to be in your life. Ask Him to be your Savior. Give Him total, complete control. Father God, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is He who draws. Lord, I ask you to forgive me that I've not allocated the time to listen to your voice. Father, forgive us. We know that you're gracious and mercy endure. It goes on forever and it's new every morning, Father God. We just have to come before you and it's new every morning. It's new today. Thank you for that new grace and mercy that we can allocate time. It is even now before you. And Father God, those distractions that we've carried in our lives, we lay them down before you. We don't carry them anymore. They didn't leave with those nets. They left those nets where they were and they went on in God. I pray right now that my friends and my brothers and sisters who are here would take those distractions and just lay them down before you and not leave with them. Not that the hindrances leave with them, but let your word that you've spoken go with them. Father God, we commit ourselves to cooperate with what you've spoken. Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak right now in Jesus' name. The power and the will of God for each person is what you would have them do, what you would have them go out and do, help in a situation, give blessing in a situation. Let them be the feet and the hands of Jesus Christ on this earth. Holy Spirit, we know you're alive and you are just as powerful in every single one of us as you are in Pastor or anybody else. And Father, I pray that we would cooperate with the voice of God that's been spoken in our lives as we leave this place and go out into the world, go back to our families, go back to our work situations, even go back into this church and among our friends here, Father God. We would cooperate with what your word has said. Now, Father God, I thank you for those who have given their life to you today. I thank you for those who have listened to the call of God on their lives, and I ask blessing upon them. Father, I thank you for church on the North Coast. I thank you for Lorain, Ohio. I thank you for this city. I thank you for this people. I thank you, God, that you have placed us in a place of great blessing, in a place that we can do great things for you, God. We will listen to your word. We will hear it. It will go in our minds, and we'll act upon it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, bless those who are here and bless them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Amen. God bless you. If you have need of prayer, please come to the front. Those would like to pray with you.